Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is so dumb.
Felger.
Oh, you idiot.
Nass.
Holy crap.
Felger and Nass.
I hate that.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
One last thing, and I know you're probably not going to tell me, but I'm not doing my job if I don't ask it. I'm assuming Sale game one. Have you made a
and
decision
David
about
game two?
Who's game two? I'm sorry?
David game two. He'll
pitch David's going to pitch game two. So Price will go game two. Okay, very good. That's what I was looking to get.
All right, as for the benefit of our NC Sports Boston simulcast audience who doesn't hear Murray's top-of-the-hour update, Alex Cora, Mad Dog Russo, just a short time ago, David Price in game two. So that's your look-ahead thought, but we're really reacting to what just went down in the ALDS with the Red Sox claiming the last two games in New York. Full credit to the Red Sox on that. As I said off the top, I just think they played really well down there. They played really well. I think from top to bottom, there's only one guy who didn't play well down there, I think. And that is Kimbrel. Kimbrel's the only guy that didn't play well. Jackie Bradley, did he get a hit down there?
Not that I remember. I mean, he walked in a big spot. Remember, he squared around a bunt, and then he didn't. It was during that big inning. He squared around a bunt and didn't. It was a ball, so he pulled back, and then they ended up walking him on the next three pitches. He never had to swing the bat.
I just feel like he's in his twilight zone offensively.
Two for 12 in the series. Bradley Jr.
2 for 12. But either way, look, in Boston, I think there was a lot of things that you looked at and went, ooh, the bullpen crapped itself. David Price lost you a game. Felt like half the guys offensively hadn't woken up. You wondered why they were playing certain guys and not playing certain guys. You had a lot of questions going down in New York, legitimate questions. And they go down there, and boy, they pitched exceptionally well, except for one guy. Eovaldi was outstanding. Porcello was very good. You got clean sheet 1-2-3 innings from Brazier and Barnes at Yankee Stadium in the 6th and 7th last night. Terrific. The catching defensively was outstanding.
Terrific. Awesome.
Saved them runs right up through the last inning. The 9th inning, that stop that Vasquez had during the Sanchez at-bat saved him a run.
Big.
Because, if he had thrown a wild pitch there, that's one run in. Runner goes to third, and the sac fly ties the game. So Leon and Vasquez saved him runs the entire series, but certainly the last two in New York. Defensively, they didn't commit an error. On the base pass, I don't think they got caught once, and they were taking extra bases, and it worked every time. The running game was a big factor in New York, and they were clean with it. So I just think they were exceptional. I just did everything well, except for Kimbrel. If that's a concern, that's a concern. We continue to discuss. Mike in Danvers. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing? Good show. I think we got to give a lot of credit to Dombrowski, because the first thing he did was not pouting about bringing Stanton here. That guy looked non-interested at that last bat last night, and I just, his attitude would not have fit here in Boston. So that's the first thing we got to do, is give him credit for not pouting over not getting him here. That's number one. And the Eovaldi thing was a great move. So he's done a good job. Now, there was
I'm just going to stop you there. Maz, you've been very critical of Dave Dombrowski. Did he, or was he vindicated in this series?
A little bit, but not all the way yet. Again, the bullpen's still an issue. So let's see how it all shakes out. You got to get through the rest of it first before you sit there and say yes. Because to me, I still think they have the same fatal flaw. Now, look, they got by New York with it. Now, if you want to say on the Stanton thing, I don't look at it and say he didn't get him and got discouraged. I look at him and say, baseball-wise, in the batter's box, J.D. Martinez is an infinitely superior hitter to Giancarlo Stanton.
They never wanted Stanton, so they weren't pouting about anything.
But the evaluation was right.
Absolutely, they were right. They were right, and those of us who wanted Stanton were wrong. No question about it. But it which is that they were pouting or not pouting is not. They never wanted the contract. They were never going to give him the contract, so they never wanted him. There was nothing to pout over. They didn't want him. And to say that Stanton's looked like he wasn't interested, I think that's silly. He just has horrible plate discipline. The guy looks like he's never seen a freaking slider. It's staggering to me. Not just that you can get him out on that stuff, but that he's so anemic. you throw it at his knees and it breaks over the plate and he absolutely turns to jello legs. Like he's never seen the thing before. And then if you throw it outside, he'll swing if it's 2 feet outside the plate. So interested, not interested. Don't tell me he's not interested. That's stupid. But his plate discipline, my God.
Brutal.
Horrible.
Yeah, brutal. And anything on the outer half or off the plate on the outside part, he'll chase and he won't make contact.
Yeah, okay. He's either trying to kill it or he's timid. I still think that the most egregious one was game one in the ninth inning. He never even swung the bat. Three straight pitches right down the pike. And he didn't swing. He looked at all three.
Brutal. Okay. On Dave Dombrowski, let's pump the brakes a little bit because this is what they should have done. They were favored in this series. They finished ahead of the Yankees by 8 games. They should have won this series. And they did, full credit. They did. But it's not like, well, I mean, now we're going to see. Now we're going to see, you know, what they really are. And if we can say this is some kind of special year or not. If they go down in this ALCS, I don't think this is any sort of special season.
No, I need to see this series first and see how it goes. Because, look, I think Houston's a wagon. I think that team's absolutely loaded. And so I need to see how much the Red Sox push them or whether they can beat them. And I think they're capable of winning the series. I don't think it's such a mismatch that I say no shot. If the Red Sox play their best, they can win the series. I believe that. But as for Dombrowski, like I look at it and say, that bullpen, now if Barnes and Brazier pitch well,
if they play like
that's different.
If they play like they did in New York, they'll win the championship. If they play like they did in New York, they'll win the championship. No errors, nothing on the base paths, clean sheet innings out of the bullpen, 2 quality starts. You're going to, if they play like that, they're going to win the championship. But I don't know, that's hard to do. Like that, they played really well, flawless almost. Only one guy sucked. Only one guy.
I'd say two. I'd throw Eddie Rodriguez on those two, but that's another, I'm just not letting it go. I got a personal vendetta there.
That was in Boston. He did that. Steven.
He gave up a run the other night, too.
Steven Providence, what do you got?
Yeah, I have a little problem with a guy named Mookie Betts. I mean, it gets overlooked because we took care of the Yankees pretty easily. But, I mean, if this guy comes out against Houston and stinks it up again, I mean, he already stole an MVP from JD. Is he going to let him down in the ALCS or whatever this next one is?
Okay, your thoughts on Mookie Betts this series?
Yeah, not good. I mean, the caller's right. 188, I think, is what the number was with Mookie Betts. And so, 3-for-16 with a double. He still, is not playing to the level he should be playing at in the postseason.
Been good defensively.
Yeah.
He had 2 hits in New York. He led off game one with that laser to deep center. I mean, it was an out. I don't want to give him credit for a fly out. I don't know.
They need more production out of him, Mike. They need more production out of Mookie. So look, I don't think he was god-awful because there were a couple of defensive plays and some good base running. He made contributions in other areas, but they need more. If they're going to beat Houston and win a championship, they need more out of Mookie.
All right, fair enough. Chris in Northbridge, hi. Chris, you're on the air. Okay, got to call us back. You got to be ready to roll. Mike in Boston up next on line one. Hi, Michael.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Oh, just great. What do you got, Mike?
I was thinking about Alex Cora's decision to start Price on game two, and it's not a love it or hate it decision. It's a hate it or you hate it and trust Alex Cora.
Yeah,
and
right.
I choose to take the latter, and here's why. I think back at last postseason, even though you don't really want to remember either of the last 2 years, but game three, Doug Fister, I think it was, came in, stunk it up the first inning. We managed to come back, make it a clean game, and David Price comes in, throws 4 scoreless innings, I think 4 hits. He really saved our year, albeit for one more game, but he pitched well. It was against the Astros. It's at Fenway. I think if you're going to give him any game, it's got to be this one.
Okay, why? Well, how come it can't be game four? David Price is someone that complains about weather conditions, about the pollen in the air and the moisture.
Fresh cut grass.
And the dew point in the fresh cut grass, and it gets cold and his hand starts to stretch out.
The detergent.
It's going to be in the low 50s Sunday night in Boston. And if he has one bad inning, the grumbling. Like Maz said, game four in Houston, I think that makes more sense to me. Controlled environment, keep him away from the jackals, meaning us. And so, I'm sorry. This one reeks to me of the analytics department. It does. Does this read you of a manager looking someone in the eye and saying, I feel he's got it. I can feel it from him. This is a gut. This is like a, this is just my baseball intuition. Who could possibly say that?
But again, when you say analytics, like I start thinking it makes it more complicated than it is.
His matchups.
Okay, but that to me, that's not even analytics. That's like as basic as it gets. He faced him twice this year and he had a good ERA, 3.65, and he had a good game against him here. So like, and I'm not telling you I agree with it because I don't. He should get game four.
No, but that's what but it's based on the numbers. Or
The matchup.
Yeah, the matchup, the performance, the past performance, the data. That's what it's based on, isn't it?
So I think, but they did the same thing with Eovaldi.
Yes. Yes. Right? This is what I'm telling you. They're doing a lot of this.
But there were a lot of managers that would look at it and say, he's my number two guy, so I'm keeping him as my number two guy.
Do you think that's what Cora's doing?
No. I think he likes the matchup better.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He likes the matchup better.
This is my point.
But I just don't think that that's necessarily an analytics thing. Like, if the analytics people came to him and said, hey, look, Houston's got guys who hit, you know, cut fastballs on the outer quadrant of the plate, and that's where Price is going to live, and then I feel like it gets to that point. But in this one, I think he just looks at it and says, no, I like the matchup better. We're going to play matchups. And I think it's him. I do. I think it's him. Now, there's an analytical element to it. I'm not telling you I don't believe in that, but I think it's more him than them. And I don't know that either. That's just my two cents.
It's just really matchup-based.
Absolutely.
It is strongly matchup-based. Eovaldi, matchup-based. And all these positional things, matched up base. I mean, just look at it. Pierce, how he hit Hap, just back and forth. Sabathia against lefties. You insert all those righties last night. The one that felt was more gut was Vasquez over Leon, because they're both, right-handed, light-hitting right-handed catchers. And so why one than the other like that? There's no nerd that could tell me that. But I think most of these decisions, I think you just look at the data, look at the matchup, and that's how they've been going. It's been working, so keep doing it. But Price in game two, so he's going twice in this series.
I mean, I think Eovaldi had a 6 ERA against the Astros this year, and he pitched against him once. 4 runs in 6 innings. He gave up 4 homers.
Here you go.
Price faced him twice, had a 3.65 ERA, and they batted 159 against him.
They're just using the data. They're just using the data, and it's working like crazy. So I guess keep doing it. But the Price decision is going to push it. More of your thoughts right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
3 balls, 2 strikes, another one. And that one's on the ground. Bogaerts ranges over, spins, fires a strike to first base. And Barnes in a 2-2 count. Popped him up. Coming in, Nunez to make the call right on top of the mound for the out. 2 gone for Barnes. Nice easy hop for Bogaerts. He'll wind it up and makes the play to get Stanton. It's a 1-2-3 inning. And a fly ball right field. Betts, the Gold Glover, on the run in the corner. And he's got it with nobody on base. 1-2 the count, and a swing and a miss. He put a fastball right by him. No balls, 2 strikes. Here it comes. And he popped him up. Pierce is back. Kinsler is over. It'll be Kinsler. And it is a 3-up, 3-down inning for Ryan Brazier.
Biggest surprise of the night, Maz.
No question. Biggest upset. Absolutely.
Which was the play-by-play there of Barnes and Brazier in the 6th and 7th inning at Yankee Stadium against the top of the Yankees lineup going 1-2-3, 1-2-3.
I mean, again, and Barnes was the bigger one. So maybe that, I was going to tell you that the order matters, right? Well, who goes first and who goes second?
Barnes got Judge, Gregorius, and Stanton.
Right. So maybe it's Barnes that he trusts more, and then he'll use Brazier in another part. So it could be those two guys flipped the next time, is what I'm getting at. But ultimately, it's those two guys now. We know. Now we have our answer that we've been looking for, at least going into the playoffs. Who are you going to give the ball to out of that bullpen at a big spot? Other than Kimbrel, which is a given in the 9th.
Those two and a starter that's available.
Correct. Yep, there you go. That's what it is. It's those two. Not Kelly, not Hembry, not anyone else. It's going to be those two guys, at least to start. And then if they fail, he'll go in another direction. But at least now we look at it and say, okay, well, so there's your answer. That in a bit, and the more surprising one to me was Barnes. I just did not. I saw him coming and I went, uh-oh, here we go. And if I remember correctly, I think with Judge, he fell behind 2-0. The first two pitches were balls. And I went, yep, classic Red Sox bullpen, fine. Here you go. You put him in a game, 4-1. The first guy comes out. First thing he does, ball one, ball two. Great. Here we go. And he got out of it. And they both threw predominantly strikes. I mean, from there, Barnes was there. Brazier threw 11 strikes in 14 pitches. Like, I'm starting to believe in this guy with the head tilt. Like, he's holding a phone on his left shoulder every time he's out on the mound talking to someone on the phone while he's pitching. I'm starting to believe that, I think this guy might be able to hack it.
So this is what I'm saying. If if they play like they did in New York, they'll win it all. Like, if you're getting clean sheet innings at the end of games from Brazier and Barnes, and if you can piece it together with whatever starter is available there to you, and Kimbrel can just hold his water, like, then you've got a bullpen.
Sure.
And your starters, if they pitch like they did in New York, again, like, so there's the, there it is. But talk about a surprise. And again, I will go back to that at-bat in the fifth inning.
Huge.
You know, where you've got Porcello at the end of his stint. Obviously, at the end of the stint, they had just made it 4-1. So it's first and third. It's first and third, one out. And Gardner hits a sac fly to left. And here comes Hicks. And so you've got Judge on deck and Barnes warming up. I'm like, oh, if Porcello loses Hicks here, Cora's going to have to go to Barnes because Porcello was done. It felt like he was done. And now you've got Barnes coming out of the bullpen in New York in the middle of an inning with Judge standing there and the crowd with a full 2.5 minute runway to ramp up that at bat. That to me was feeling like that was about to get ugly. And Porcello getting Hicks to fly out there, I thought was one of the biggest outs of the whole game.
Huge, because they were getting momentum, right? They just scored their first run of the game. Like everything you just said. I mean, it's, you know, that was a big, big out. Big out. No two ways about it.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts at 617-779-0985. Gary in Tennessee. Hi, Gary.
Hey, I was calling about last night's game. The Red Sox had bases loaded, top of the eighth. Two things I want to talk about. And Vasquez was up. I think Betances was pitching. Why wouldn't they use Holt to pinch hit, being a lefty, and as well as he was hitting? Put him in that position. My other point was, would it be so egregious to have Sale pitch the top of the ninth, I mean the bottom of the ninth, instead of Kimbrel, given his inability to get people out?
2 second guesses that I've heard. I've heard that Vasquez won a couple times. Because Betances made him look like I make you guys look out in the backyard when we're playing football. That third swing and miss, my goodness.
Oh, he was lost, yeah.
Oh! So
he wanted Holt there for Vasquez?
Yeah, a lefty.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. No, I didn't hear who he had said initially. Yeah, I heard him say Holt, but I didn't hear who he had said
before. So how do you feel about that?
So at that stage, I wouldn't have messed with it. And I'll tell you why. Vasquez was having a good game. You're ahead. And then also, you're now down to you've eliminated your catcher on the bench in the event something goes wrong. Because God bless Swihart, I love him too, but they really don't want to put Swihart in late innings in New York to catch. They really don't want to do that. So I was, hold the course. Like, because I've heard other people say, why doesn't Holt hit for Kinsler? And I wouldn't have done that either, because Kinsler's a good defensive player. Or he's better than Holt. So when you're ahead, I think you can play it a little more conservatively. And I didn't mind Cora doing it the way he did it offensively late in the game. I hated Sale coming out of that bullpen. Okay. I hated it.
You hated Sale in the eighth, and did you hate then Kimbrel in the ninth? Or did you, the caller says, keep Sale in for the ninth, too?
So it crossed my mind before that like, if you're going to bring Sale in the eighth, why wouldn't you just let him do it? Like, let him go both innings. What's the logic there? And my guess is that
you burn him for game five, then.
Not necessarily, though.
He could have pitched two innings and still started game five?
Maybe. It's still asking a lot. But I think the other thing is, you can't get through the postseason without Kimbrel. You're going to need him.
Okay, why did you hate Sale in the eighth?
To me, he was the guy you had to hold out for game five. And I sort of felt like, well, now you're introducing an element. Like, what if the inning goes long and they get to him? Now is he in jeopardy to all of a sudden pitch game five? Now what are you doing? So, like, now look, he rolled the dice, and he won. That could have been a disaster. And you know what? And he knew it, too, because he announced to his dugout, he's coming in, we're all in. Right? Like, here we go, we're playing poker, boys. Let's throw it all in the middle of the table and see what cards we get. So he got away with it, but I don't love the move, practically speaking.
Yeah, well, no, it almost bit him. Not that Sale's stint takes him out of the game five start, but does it take away a bullet or two?
Maybe.
Can he only go 90 pitches versus 100, or does he have a little less on his, you know, does it just take something off of him from game five because he pitches that one inning last night and Kimbrel blows it and now that's blown up in your face? So, I mean, that almost did come back to bite him.
No question. Now, look, they gave it 3 days off and he threw, what was it? Was it 13 pitches, 8 strikes?
I was going to ask,
yeah. I mean, so it wasn't many. I mean, he did. He got through there very efficiently. It wasn't an issue. So I my feeling is that it's not going to bother him on Saturday. And with Kimbrel, if they bypass their closer last night and Sale closes it, I don't know, you get to the next, you can't close Sale four times in the Astros series and start him. Like, I don't think you can do that. So do you lose Kimbrel? And maybe they were worried about that.
We've got Scott in Weymouth. Hi, Scott.
What's up? Good afternoon, guys. All right, great victory, great series, awesome. Here's my concern moving forward. Beating the Yankees in the playoffs, I felt like we won the World Series last night. Like, where does it go from here? It almost feels like a downstep to play another team. Perhaps that's because I just hate the Yankees that much or whatever. Here's my prediction. I'll dump with this. Ready? Excuse me. I'll close with this. They're either going to win or get – they're either going to win 4-0 or lose 4-0 in Houston, mark my words. Get swept or sweep. I don't know which way it's going.
Okay, they ain't getting swept.
And I don't think they're sweeping. I mean, so, you know what?
0-2.
You are so right about this guy. He's so freaking irritating.
He's annoying.
Oh, my God. He qualifies everything. Just tell us what your point is and go.
He's annoying.
Leave. Go away. Say it quickly and go. Oh, my God. Does that drive me bananas?
He's annoying.
Qualifies everything. Jesus.
What
so what was the thing he said? Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing.
So there's not going to be a sweep on the other side. What was
that
the first?
Winning, beating the Yankees, that's good enough. That's like one of the World Series.
Okay. There's going to be a little bit of a fan letdown. And even that, I'm going to qualify. It's not like, you know, the game did a 25 last night, 24 or something here in Boston. There's something about, this happens with the Bruins all the time too. Well, they'll play Montreal in the first round, and then the ratings go down in the second round because there's just something about the regular season Bruins games are Montreal. The four highest every year are Montreal. So there's just something about the uniform and the matchup and the history that brings in everybody. It's just magnetic. So there's going to be something like that it's going to feel different, but I highly doubt the team has expended all of its bullets because it was New York. As a fan, you're going to feel different. The team, I think it makes not one bit of difference.
No, I don't think that.
Because the players don't have the pent up Yankee thing like fans do. It's not, you know, maybe if we get a couple years and all these players are still here and Judge has gone back and forth with the team on New York. And like, you know, like it built up in 03 and 04, that had built up between those two specific teams. These guys, I don't know. You feel like they hate each other?
No.
Not really.
I mean, I think there are a couple of people that do. You know, I don't feel like the GMs love each other. And, you know, maybe a couple of guys on the field. But nothing, you know, I don't think Mookie Betts and Judge have this great rivalry going because they're both right fielders. You know, I don't look at it that way. And I think you feel that way now. But come Saturday night when it's Houston.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, and it's Houston. It's not, you know, this isn't some scrub team that showed up out of nowhere. These are the reigning world champs who are loaded. They are loaded. And on top of it all, they beat you last year. Like, you know, this should be an easy one to get up for. Like, I don't think this is one that you're really going to have to find angles for. This should be pretty easy.
Okay, if you haven't heard yet, maybe Dave Dombrowski, I don't know. The Red Sox have set their rotation for the ALCS, whether it's Alex, Dave Dombrowski, or some nerd. They have set their rotation for the Astros. It's a little surprising and maybe a little disappointing. Here are the details with Murray, and we're back to discuss.
Felger and Maz. At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How much of an achievement was that tonight for your team?
I don't know, man. I'll think about it tomorrow, but a lot of people gave up on us after losing game two. We showed up yesterday, and we did an outstanding job, and tonight we had our plan mapped out. Rick was outstanding, and then the bullpen did an outstanding job at the end. Well, Craig, now he wasn't the usual Craig Kimbrel, but he got three outs, and he closed the game. They say in the moment, they play the right way. They ran the bases well, play good defense. Yesterday was Brock and the lefties. Today was Ian and Nooney and Christian. So we have a complete team. We're very versatile. We count on everybody, and it was a great team victory.
I do think it was important to them. I mean, it's beyond saying the obvious of advancing, you know, to an LCS and a chance to win a championship. Of course, that's important. But I think they needed to get the monkey off their back. And not just, I'm not just talking about the sports radio argument of fake wins and asterisks and choking dogs and crapping their pants and 1-6 in the postseason, all this stuff that you've had to hear as fans. That must get aggravating. So, like, that's over for a time anyway. You know, it's at least a large part of it's over. But I'm not even talking about that. Like, that team itself had almost no postseason success.
This was their third crack at it.
Their entire starting, their entire pitching staff had not won a postseason game.
Correct.
A lot of their guys on that and in that lineup, that really good lineup, had failed each of the last 2 years. They were not overly competitive in the playoffs each of the last 2 years. Questions had piled up, and I think that if, you know, the longer you go without breaking that seal, the longer that just sort of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and that becomes who you are.
Exactly. So you start believing it. And then you get into big spots and you expect something to go wrong. I mean, look at David Price. I mean, he's a perfect example of that. As it snowballs, you get to this stage, now you really can't dig out.
So they had over the hump. Had to. You couldn't have, I mean, that would have been really damaging to have that kind of regular season. Finish 8 games ahead of the Yankees and then lose to them in the DS? Oh, you know, I kept saying that can't happen. It's really important that it didn't happen. Really important.
Yeah, I think that's the narrative that was going on throughout the league with other teams. I mean, look at the approach the Yankees just had in the last 2 games. I think that they looked at Saturday's win and were like, okay, we're going home. We mashed there.
The Sox are about to fall apart. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
We got them. They're going to make mistakes. Rick Porcello, what's his record in the postseason? We can show up. We're going to mash. And they actually showed balls and, you know, they killed that narrative. Good for them.
Okay, but when Cora said a lot of people gave up on us after game 2, is that true?
No, I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration.
I think it's a lot of an exaggeration.
I think there were some people that looked at them and said, here we go. And I don't know, maybe he's talking about Shaughnessy. Who the hell knows? I don't even think Dan did.
No, yeah. No one gave up on him.
Everyone quit on Price, but rightfully so. But the team, no.
I think a lot of people have quit on Price, that's for sure. But, even us, like, go the most negative of the negative. Maz and I both said before game 3, they're still in this.
Oh, yeah, not over.
Win 1, you're home with Sale in game 5. You're in good shape. Now, if you had asked me before the New York games, I guess I would have predicted they probably split here. You know, this feels like a split going back to Boston, sure. Game 5. And I had questions with the way they played in Boston. Sure, why wouldn't you? But I don't think anyone gave up on them. I don't think it was that kind of thing.
No, I know I didn't. I mean, I think I still picked them to win the series, albeit in 5 games. I thought, the one thing I will say, I thought there was zero chance they were going to win both games in New York. Zero. Like, to me, you're not going down there and getting 2. Not with the way that place is. Because I expected more of what the last inning was like last night. Yeah. I expected more of that.
Well, and not with the way the Sox were playing. The Sox didn't play all that well in Boston. They didn't. They jumped out to a big lead in game 1 and then were really kind of crappy the whole rest of the way in Boston. They were. They weren't getting offensive production from a lot of their lineup. Their bullpen pitching sucked. The Price was a disaster as usual. Eddie Rodriguez is out there not covering the bases. You know, it's like, so you come out of those Boston games, they go, if they play like this, it's going to be hard. So I think a lot of people were feeling that. And so I think not just that they got through this series, but the way they played in New York I thought was really exceptional. I think they pitched great. There were no errors. There were no base running mistakes. The entire lineup hit just about. The only guy that struggled and really, you know, did not perform down there was Kimbrel. There's only one guy. I think the rest of them. Betts, I guess you can sort of quibble with. The numbers weren't good at the end of the day for Betts. But for the most part, they really just played good team baseball the whole way down there. Much better than they played in Boston. And so give them full credit. It was huge. I think absolutely huge. They had to have that. They could not go into another offseason having lost in the first round after that regular season. Could you imagine? You just can't have that. All right, back to your phones. John in Vermont. Hi, John.
Hey, I know you guys have had a lot of fun with Hope Cycle, but I just want to make one point. Had the Yankees had a beat down on the Red Sox for 16-1 and had Judge hit for the cycle, oh my goodness, his jersey and his bat would be being shipped to Cooperstown for display. They'd go on and on about it never happened.
Okay, just let me cut you off. Your phone's average. Not here, we wouldn't. We'd be mocking him the same way we're mocking Brock Holt. We mock anyone who hits for the cycle, especially Maz.
Well, what I would tell you, John, is that I wouldn't necessarily celebrate Aaron Judge hitting for the cycle. There are some other guys I might celebrate, but to be candid with you, I don't really believe I don't believe in the cycle at all.
It's too clear. His phone was an average. His phone was terrible.
Jimmy and Derry. Go ahead, Jimmy. James?
Felgan, Maz, Jim, what's up, boys?
Hi.
What's up?
Hey, what's going on? 2 quick things. I love the topic on analytics' role and Cora's decision-making thus far moving forward. And I haven't quote-unquote quit on Price, but, Maz, I do agree with you, dude. Despite Cora's success slash luck this season in this past week, because that's what it really is. I'm not taking anything away from the guy. He's brilliant, but there's a lot of luck in baseball. But you add Cora's success, And you can even add that whole Price versus Houston lineup, you know, good matchup. Put those together, but you put that up against such a long-standing trend and pattern like Price's failures in October. I just feel the latter is the upper hand. You know,
so, Jimmy, I'll cut you off. It's become clear. The Sox are just playing the matchups. They're just playing the matchups. And, like, people are saying, these master strokes and he's hot. He is hot. But hot means, like, you're playing hunches. And I just simply think if there's a pitcher up, if there's a lefty up there that's tough on lefties, they're going with righties. That's what happened last night. And if there's a player with an individual matchup over a certain pitcher, like Steve Pierce against J.A. Happ in game one, they're putting Pierce up at the top of the lineup. And if a certain pitcher has good splits against a team like David Price against Houston, he's going in the two spot. Even though he looks like crap and Eovaldi looks awesome, Eovaldi is now slotted behind Price because Eovaldi has bad splits against Houston and Price has good splits against Houston. It's really not that complicated. It's really not that genius. They're just looking at the data and saying, what are the matchups and what's the track record? And that's the way they're going.
Sure, so, but my point is this.
What hunch is he playing?
No, listen, you're not wrong to say all that. My only point is that there's still a decision to be made. And here's the example I would give you. Brock Holt against Luis Severino going into that game was 1-for-15. Devers was 0-for-12. He played him anyway. So why?
Lefty-righty.
Right, but the individual matchups on those guys did not bear out. You follow me?
Yeah, sure.
So you've got to weigh one over the other. There's got to be something in that process that you say, well, but I'm still going to go with this because I believe in this number more than that number. And so there's still a decision in there, which is why I say it. Maybe it's not a big one, but it's still one that you look at and say, I'm going to go. I just think he's hot right now. Now, what the caller said. Sooner or later, is he going to screw up? Let me warn you, right? He has got a horseshoe wedged so far up there, it's in his small intestine right now, for crying out loud. That horseshoe is so far up there, it isn't funny. He's on a roll. There's no two ways about it. Can it keep up? I don't know. I have no idea. I just, again, if you look at the individual matchups against Severino, Holt and Devers shouldn't have been in the lineup. But he went with Severino's right-left numbers instead.
Right.
Took a chance and it worked. So for whatever reason in that matchup, he liked the Severino numbers better. And whatever it is, because ultimately there are numbers in there. No, you're so right about that. He's hitting the right one.
Okay, there was one big game changer last
night. And that, I guarantee you, that's going to change.
All right, we'll see. Hopefully not in the next 2 weeks for them. Big game changer last night, a game-changing development. We'll get to that right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're also saying there is a certain lanky lefty who has been hovering around my office all day long saying, Skip, I got an inning in me, Skip. I got two innings in me. I think we all know who he's talking about.
You first talk about bringing Chris in the eighth.
He's been talking about it for 3 days already. Everybody was on board. I even shouted to the dugout, hey, we all in. He's coming in.
Betts is back on it, gives way to Jackie Bradley Jr., and it is out number one.
I talked to AC before the game and told him I was, ready whenever he needed me.
And Sale gets his first man.
At this point in the year, it's all hands on deck and no holding back.
Two outs, nobody on. Sale deals, and a called strike three. Chris Sale retires him in order with a strikeout.
Will you be ready Saturday, game one?
Oh, yeah, I'll be ready whenever they need me.
So Chris Sale in the eighth inning, that's a game changer, Maz. Being able to use him like that. Again, I said going into the playoffs about Chris Sale, my big question is not whether he could get through a start or whether he'd be ready to go. Like, I felt that was in the cards. I felt, could he be used the way they need to use him? And a lot of teams use their aces when you get to this time of year. Game one, game five, relief in a game. Next series, game one, game four, relief, game seven. World Series, game one, game four, relief, game six. Come back on one day, resting game seven, and throw for a bat. Like, that's been sort of a model. A lot of teams do that. If you have that guy, it's a weapon. It's a game changer. And I felt there was very little chance they could use Chris Sale like that. Very little. Could they get him through as just a generic starter? Keep a close eye on him? Yes. Could they use him as a weapon in multiple situations, multiple games? I felt that was a stretch. But last night, what did last night tell me?
Oh, for sure they can do it. Yeah, for sure they can do it. And again, it also tells you that they think he's healthy because they're not going to expose him to any sort of, you know, injury risk or anything like that. Now, look, there were two close games in this series, really. The Red Sox won them both. And one of them, Porcello pitched the eighth. The other one, Sale got it.
Okay. Do you have a problem with that?
No. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, and given what their bullpen plate is, no.
I mean,
I don't.
I mean, can I just say, you can't live that way. It's hard to live that way for 162 games. You've got to have a great offense to get over it, which the Red Sox did. In the playoffs, though, you can get away with that.
Yes, you can do it for 3 weeks.
You can?
Yeah, you can. I mean, it's been done. I mean, it's not, you know, maybe not quite as urgently at the beginning as the Red Sox have done it, but it doesn't have to be Sale every time either. I mean, effectively, what happened is Sale got an inning in Porcello's game, and Porcello got an inning in Sale's game.
There you go.
So they kind of flip-flopped them. You know, they used them both on those days, and that's what they went with. And so can they continue to do that? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I also think they were sort of forced into this because they don't have an answer in the eighth inning. I don't think it's a coincidence that both times it was the eighth. So, but can they do it going forward? Sure. I did not see that coming last night. I don't know if you did.
Well, no, we talked about it during the game. We said there's no, or yeah, I think you said there's no way they're doing it.
I mean, I thought there was zero chance. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, kept saying it over and over. And he's like, I bet you Sale pitches. And I thought, I just don't see it. I don't see how. Once again, Jimmy was right. So you're looking at him kind of funny.
Well, so where do you come up with that? Like the Celtic stuff I get, but where do you come up with that on baseball now, Stu?
I just felt like Cora had made a comment the other day about how he didn't like how Hinge last year used Verlander out of the bullpen. But yet, in game one, he used Porcello in the eighth inning. So I thought for sure he was either going to use Sale in an important, when they were winning in either game three or game four, and Price if they were losing in game four. That's just how I felt.
You believed it.
I wouldn't say I believed it. I think a nerd told me.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. So even, but you said that Cora's on record saying he didn't like the way Hinch used his starter.
Exactly, which I felt like was inconsistent with what he actually did.
Yeah.
I mean, I was blown away. When I saw him get up, I went, oh my God.
I went, yes, I'm right.
Yes, Jimmy was invested in his take.
Yep.
No, Murray, were you surprised when he got up? Were you surprised when Sale started warming?
No, I wasn't, because he used Porcello in game one. And, you know, based on all the reports, he didn't have a bullpen or anything like that, so he could give him an inning, maybe the ninth, too, if necessary. I wasn't surprised he didn't come back out for the ninth. But for the eighth, no, I wasn't.
Tell you also, what, Chris Sale has a history with the White Sox of pitching in the eighth inning, and that I filed away, too. He was the setup guy for the White Sox before he became a full-time starter.
Tell you what, if it's the LCS, especially World Series, it gets easy at that stage.
Absolutely.
No. Kimbrel's not going into that game. When you get to the end of, you know, maybe the next round or even the one after, Kimbrel's not getting the ninth. Sale's getting two innings, and that's it.
Didn't Houston last year close out a game with a starter? Was it Charlie Morton?
Yes. Sounds right.
Yes. So, I mean, the precedent's definitely there. You can definitely live that way at this time of year. You can do it. You can do it.
Yeah, it's all about giving your best, the most important innings to your best pitchers. This is the way you got to think of it. Whether they're relievers or starters, whoever your best pitchers are going to get the big innings. And so in this case, again, they don't have a choice. I'd love for them to have an eighth inning guy and take a little of the workload off, because if you do this too much by the end, you could see some wear and tear. You know, even though it's only 3 weeks, the intensity of every pitch is just so big that it's exhausting. So, you know, I still would feel better if they had another guy in that bullpen, but it can be done.
Okay. We continue with your thoughts on the Red Sox win last night in New York. That was a big one. And looking forward now just a little bit to the Houston Astros. We got 3 days to do that. So we're mostly reaction to last night, and we continue with your calls. Rick in Merrimack, he joins us next. Go ahead, Rick.
Hi, guys. Two quick points. One, Mookie looks lost up the plate, especially last night. There was a curveball that froze him in the middle innings. I can't remember what inning it was. And it looked like he was like a four-year-old swinging at his very first pitch. My second point is it possible Dombrowski is behind pitch and Price in game two, since the Sox are paying Price so much money, basically saying, let's give him one more chance to try and prove he's worth the money we're paying him?
I think it might be part of it. Might.
I wouldn't rule that out either.
Be part of it. So don't, like, I'm not saying this is the driving reason, but I think they all get in a room. Dombrowski's there. The analytics guys are there. Cora's there. And they all throw in their two cents. And so Dombrowski obviously has a seat at the table. And maybe there's some loyalty to the player and to the signing. That wouldn't be the first time they've ever done it. I think it's primarily driven by the matchups. That Price has pitched well against Houston this year, so he gets the ball game too. Eovaldi has not pitched well against the Astros this year. It's only one start.
One start, yeah. 6 innings, 4 runs.
So Eovaldi did not have a good start against him. He goes behind Price. Like, I feel it's simply driven by that. Betts. You've said for a long time, Maz, you can pitch to Betts.
Yep.
And then this year, it turned out no one could pitch to Betts because he covered the outside of the plate. He started hitting homers to center and to right center, and you just couldn't pitch to him. Is it back to being where you can pitch to him? Did the Yankees work him outside and he not be able to handle it?
No, I think some of it's just Betts. I think he's just tight. I mean, that's what I think some of it is. Now, he's taken some good swings, but I just don't think he's having consistent at-bats. So now the good news with Betts is that it hasn't affected the other parts of his game. He played a good right field in this series, and his base running was good. So, and I just think somewhere along the line, him, Mookie's probably going to get hot, and then we'll really be able to tell in terms of how teams pitch him. And even last night, the Yankees walked him to get to Benintendi in the eighth. They wanted nothing to do with him. So there's even value in that, right? Like, but I just think that with Mookie in big spots, they are going to challenge him to hit the ball out to the opposite field. That's what teams are going to do, and we'll see how he handles that.
I wouldn't pitch him inside in Houston.
No way.
Not with that little thing.
Nope, and at Fenway is the place to do it. You know, at Fenway, you pitch him away, right? So,
well, you know, and Houston.
Right.
I mean, that's right. Where the big alleys are to center and right.
Right. The center's huge there.
Huge.
Gigantic.
I'm upset they took away that little mound.
Yeah, I liked it too.
I like that hill.
Yeah. See guys stumbling off, falling all over themselves out there.
I don't know why they did that. Anyway, we continue with your reaction right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.